What grave might you be standing in before right now that needs to be robbed? What is it that the King of Kings needs to rob from your life that shouldn't be there? What's the thing? What's the Goliath? What's the 9-foot, 9-inch problem in your life that the resurrected King has come to the grave to say, Lazarus, come forth. This is our God. This is who he is. This is what he does. And it's always been. It has always been the pattern. It has always been. When Adam and Eve fell, the promise would be the seed would come and crush the head of the enemy in our lives, in your lives. And it's another way to say, he's come to rob the grave. He's come to rob your grave. No matter what it is in your life, he's come to rob it. If it's dead, if it's not alive, if it is dying, if it is wilting, whatever it is, he comes to give the life of Christ in you and in me. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this great promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 3 days I'll be in the grave, 3 days after crucifixion, but I will rise again. And now, Father, 2,000 years ago, he stands at what you stand at, what is dead in our lives, and you say, come forth fear, come forth immorality, come forth failure, come forth greed, come forth anger, come forth bitterness and unforgiveness, come forth. God, I want to thank you for the power of God today. I want to thank you for the power of the Lord. And I ask God in Jesus' name that you would come and visit us on this fourth message on killing Goliath. Because, Father, somebody's going to kill him. And I want to ask God in your name that you would move in a mighty way as we open scripture and you wash us, Lord, with the word. Father, I believe you have a word for every one of us who's listening to these words today, whether here in this place, whether online, whether on a radio station in the future. I ask God that you would move in a mighty way so that we might identify our Goliath and see this Goliath killed in the name of the Lord. Because, Lord, you are the resurrected King who is resurrecting us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory and for his honor. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We are in this fourth message on killing Goliath. And I want to talk to you this morning about killing Goliath in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In verse 41, the scripture says, the Philistine came, this 9-foot, 9-inch giant. He came on and he approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, he said this, watch this church. Watch, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted, whom you have defied, whom you have blasphemed, whom you have taunted. I come to you in the name of the Lord. You come to me with a spear. You come to me with something physical. You come to me with a shield and a javelin. And I'm sure that's been a great thing for you because you're still standing after all these years. But not today, because I'm the first who's coming in the name of the Lord. I'm the first who's coming in the name of the Lord. It is he who will deliver us. It is he who will deliver me from your hand. And today I will do this. I will do this. I will strike you down. I'm going to remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. What a confession. What confidence, what life that this young shepherd boy would come to this 9'9" pagan warrior and would cut his head off, who would come in the name of the Lord with just a sling and a rock to bring death to this man, to bring death to this champion, to bring death to this problem, this power of the age, not the power of God. And we have talked that this Goliath represents Satan and his host. He's the roaring lion that seeks to devour you. He's the destroyer of lives. He's the thief. He's the plunderer. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the tempter and accuser. And everything Goliath stands for will represent fear, and it'll represent the power of sin. And I got to ask the question again, what is your Goliath? What is it that is this 9'9" problem in your life that just keeps coming up over and over and over again? What is it? Have you identified it? Do you know what it is that comes and brings fear and anxiety and stress? The thing that comes and brings failure in your life because you just can't seem to submit to God and you move to the temptation. What is your Goliath? What are the possibilities today of the Goliath that you might have? And how can we be like David to position ourselves and to come to the place to kill this thing and chop off its head? So it never, ever appears to you again. You say, oh, really? I mean, I want to say this to you. One day years ago, I had someone who was really upset with me, and it was another pastor in the area. And you know why he was mad at me? He says, because you're promising your people things that God cannot deliver. I'll never forget that. You're promising your people things that God doesn't promise and God doesn't do in this lifetime. And I want to just say, just open your Bible and see the salvation of God, the deliverance of God, the power of God. Let me ask you, have you been delivered by something great, something big, a 9'9"? Have you been delivered from it? Raise your hand. Yeah, you've been delivered from it. You have been delivered from it. Why? Because he promises that. And everything points to this glory. Everything points to this worship. Everything points to who God is and what God does. And when he comes to take this away in your life, it's so that you now can point to the same God that all scripture is pointing to, that all those who've walked in victory, just as we've sung, this resurrected victory can point to the power and the glory of Almighty God. That's our purpose today. That's who God is. That's what God desires to do. He comes to set you free. He comes to take away the sin. He comes to destroy the works of the devil, crush his head, and conform you into the image of Jesus. Goliath is the sin problem. It's the bad habit that needs to be killed. It might be idolatry. It might be idolatry. You know that idolatry doesn't just happen in those countries over there. We may not have little statues that we bow to and give little food to, but I want to ask you, what are the things of this life that you've been bowing down to? The things in your life that you love more than you love God, or the things in your life that you think are going to fulfill you that only God can fulfill. It's an idol. That's what it is. And it's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. It could be immorality. It's the violations of God's definition of purity. That's what immorality is. And God's definition of purity is always in the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman forever. Well, not forever, till you die. It's the pride of life that produces anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, murder. It's the pride of life that brings racism and bigotry and prejudice and racial and religious supremacy. It's the pride of life that causes injustice to the poor, the needy, and the least of these. Goliath is the greed problem where you get all you can, count all you got, and then you end up stingy. And it can be corporate. It can be someone it can be someone living in a hovel even, or someone living in a mansion. It doesn't matter. You can still have a greed problem. A stinginess problem, and not a generous spirit of your life. Goliath is a sin problem. It is an attitude. It's the critical spirit, the condemning heart. It's the false guilt and shame that continues to plague and chase you year after year. When God has already made it right with you, Goliath is a sin problem. But also it's the disease, it's your affliction that threatens your health, your life. It's the emotional disease of loss and pain and hurt that might have happened in your life years and years ago. Goliath is your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your stress. Goliath is your lack, your debt, your loss of job, or whatever lack you're going into. And it doesn't mean that you don't learn contentment. Please hear what I'm saying. Paul said it. He said, listen, I know how to get along with a lot, and I know how to get along with not much at all. I know how to get along with living with the folks, the rich folks of Ephesus, and I know how to get along in a prison cell in Rome where hardly anything is being provided to me. I know the secret of contentment. I know it. But listen, Goliath could be your lack today. It could be your debt. It could be your loss of job, or whatever you lose, whatever you might lose today. Goliath is your depression and your loneliness. Goliath could be your lack of direction. Your Goliath might be a wandering child, a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, someone that's far away from the presence and life of God. That may be your Goliath today. But I want to ask the question today, what is your Goliath? And I've done something for you today because this Goliath, what he does is really this Goliath. Can I tell you this? Goliath today is not a person. Our struggle is not flesh and blood. Is that right? Not a person. You know, there's some of us here that we look at people and we think that they're our problem. They're not your problem. They're not your problem. Well, they might be bringing some stuff to you, but let me tell you, it's only your problem when you begin to think that they're your problem. They're only your problem when you decide to let them control whatever they're controlling in your life. No, you have this power, and to say, listen, it's not the person, because I can love the person. I can love that person. I can love him. I can love her. And I can separate the fact of who God is, and I also can see who the enemy is in people's lives. Why? Because I saw the enemy in my life. Through my attitudes, through my sinfulness, through my self-direction and not God-direction. It's not a person. Very, very important in our study. It's a very important thing. It is not a person. And what this does is it often incites things. It often incites things that are not good, where we go to things in our mind that aren't healthy. These Goliaths that I've just talked about, if you don't approach them right, they will produce anxiety. They'll produce an exhaustion. They will produce a worry. You will be tired and fatigued all the times of your life that you have this stuff in your life. And that's why Jesus came. He came to take it away. You've heard this from this pulpit. You'll hear it again. You'll hear it again and again as long as I stand before you. The question that I want to ask is, what's your Goliath? In your notes, there's one place that you can fill in the blank. This is my Goliath. And you might say, hey, oh, wait a minute, I have 5 Goliaths, or I got 10 Goliaths going on right now. But can I tell you something? There may be 1,000 Goliaths in your life coming to sift you, but in Christ, they'll never overcome you. There might be 1,000 Satans that might come your way. It might come the church's way, but the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Amen? Amen. This is the power of God. It's the power of relationship. It's the power of walking with God. It's the power of knowing God. It's the power of abiding in God. And that's what David's doing here. While everybody else is scared, while everybody else is frightened, while everybody is shaking in their sandals, this one shepherd boy is coming to make a difference. And the question is how does he do that? How does he make the difference? How will he get to the place that he kills this Goliath? He knows who this guy is. He knows he's pagan. He knows what he's doing. And that's the first thing. He knows it, but he's appalled by it. He's appalled by God, Goliath. And I think the question that I would ask today is, are you appalled by your selfishness? Are you appalled by some of the things that might come out of your mouth Or have you become so comfortable with it that it's become so familiar that your conscience has been seared by it? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That when we're so attuned, become so familiar with the world and the things of the world. This is what the Bible says to the Old Testament people, that you no longer blush at what you used to blush at. And I want to ask, church, is that you today? We've got to be appalled by it. Appalled by our sinfulness, appalled by our attitudes, appalled that this would come out of our mouth. And oh, by the way, if someone was to come to you and say, hey, I see this in your life, and you're offended, you need to be appalled. And you know why you need to? You need to ask God, oh God, is what they're saying true? Is what they're saying in my life? Oh God, have mercy on me, because I don't want that to be in my life. I don't want that attitude. And if they see that in my life, oh God, I want it out. I don't want to be offended by it. I don't want to walk an offense. I don't want to say you're crazy. I don't want to say any of those things. I want to say, oh God, what is it that this person sees in me? That's not right. That's not good. That's not healthy. I want to be appalled by it. Because it was so appalled by God that he sent his son to die in your place on behalf of you to take that thing which he is appalled by away from your life. This is the power of the gospel. And the question is, am I appalled by this life? I've identified it. Am I appalled that I have anger in my life? Am I appalled that I have outbursts of anger? Am I appalled that I have this impatient struggle? Am I appalled by this alcohol problem? Am I appalled by this disease? Am I appalled by these, whatever? Am I appalled by it? We have this great God who has this remedy for these things. But the question is, will I be appalled by it? And then the other thing is, will I mourn over it? Will I ask God to take it away? Will I say, God, I don't want this in my life? You know, I think about this thought about being grieved by what grieves God. Because that's what people after God's own heart do. They grieve at what God grieves at. And God grieves. He grieves. There's this sorrow over sinfulness. Now, what's interesting about this is that there's also in God this great joy. The Bible says it in Hebrews. He says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, sit at the right hand of the Father. This joy that what God would accomplish through the cross. Because he was appalled by the sinfulness, and he was appalled by the separation, and he was grieved by it. Because what our great God wants to do is die for you, than to live without you. And so he dies for us, because he's appalled by it. And we see it in Scripture. We see it through the Scripture. You see it in church discipline that Jesus speaks of. You see it in the Corinth church, where Paul is just appalled by the things going on in the Corinth church, because Jesus comes to make things right. He comes to make things right. Be appalled by Goliath. It's interesting, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, when he hears what's going on, when David approaches this battle line, the Bible says look at verse 24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's household free in Israel. And David spoke to the men who were standing by and said, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? He's appalled. But do you know why he's appalled? Because of his awe and love for God. That's why. You have this, I'm appalled at this. Why? Because our God is so great. Our God is so loving. Our God is so powerful. Our God can do anything. Our God is awesome. And there's this awesome thought in his mind of the glory and honor of God. He has this high view of God and not of man. He has this high view of God and not of sin. He has a high view of God to honor him and to glorify him all the days of his life. And you can't be appalled at sin until you have a high view of God, his standards, by his word, of what he says. What he says is righteous, and what he says is unrighteous. What he says is godly, and what he says is ungodly. And David has this awe of God, and it's this awesome thought of this God who, like we sang today, he does it over and over and over again. Does it again. And he's in awe of that. Appalled by Goliath because he's enthralled with God. He's a man with a singular ambition to please God, to choose God. As we talked a number of weeks ago about choosing the one thing. If you look at verses 36 through 37 and a little beyond, notice what he says. Saul hears these words that David is saying, Saul says, hey, let me talk to you, David, for a moment. Let me talk to you for a moment. So look at verse 32. David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of this guy. Your servant will go out and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. He's been a warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him. I attacked him, rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and I struck him and I killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again and again and again. He's been faithful. He's not failed me. He's going to do it again. He's the resurrected king that's going to resurrect Israel from her fear, her worry, her anxiety, her stress of these Philistines. Our God's going to do it again. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go. He said, David, good luck and God bless. I didn't say that. Go in the strength of the Lord. You know, I think about this being appalled. I think about being in awe of God and how everything flows out of this worship. And that's what this is. It's the worship of God. It's that God, worship him alone. It's loving him most and seeking him first. It's worshiping God and not other things of this world and other things of this life. And this is the power of victory. This is where we find our victory. And you know, when Goliath says to David, hey, I'm going to kill you today, he says, listen, no, you're not going to kill me. Why? Because I'm going to kill you in the name of the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:45, we read it a moment ago. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of, watch this, the Yahweh of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. We are appalled by our Goliath, and we are in awe of our great God. Therefore, we kill this Goliath, watch, in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. That's what he says. You come to me with these armor and this helmet and this sword and this shield and your shield bearer, but I'm coming to you in the name of God, in the name of Yahweh. You know, I think this is a really great thought here today because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says this, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. You see, while Goliath is taunting, while he's reproaching and blaspheming and defying, David is trusting God. Goliath is boasting in his strength, but we're boasting in God's strength. And he says, listen, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Though I walk in the flesh, I'm not going to war according to the flesh. You remember in our story where Saul says, here, I want you to try on my armor. And he puts the armor on, and it's just too big. It's just too big. You know that sometimes in life, well, a lot of times in life, big is really not enough. A lot is really not enough. You know, we're a people that do not despise the day of small things. Because there are small things in this life that kill Goliaths. You know, I think about this name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. His name. You have a way of warring, and I'm going to put a rock in a sling, and I'm going to hit you with it, and then I'm going to cut off your head. But everybody is going to see how ridiculous that looks. I mean, that's what he did. You come to me with sticks. You're not going to come with a sword. You're not going to come with a javelin. You're not going to do it the world's way. No, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord. You know, Goliath is taunting. Goliath is the bully. Goliath is talking loud. He's doing all these things. And David's saying, look, you're coming to me with all this stuff and all this attitude. I'm just going to come to you in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to take the skill set, the gift that God's given me, and the thing that I've delivered, and that's how to sling a rock. I'm going to take the rock, and I'm going to put it in his head. And I got four more if anybody else wants to come after me. Got five stones. I'm not going to do it man's way. I'm going to do it God's way. Let me ask you a question about your Goliath today. How have you been warring against your Goliath? Self-help. Self-help isn't going to help you. God-help is going to help you. Jesus, the Spirit of the living God. Are you going to try to just continue in your own human feeble effort, or are you going to do it God's way? Because I'm going to tell you the question. You know, when you ask the question, how do you war? Do you war with anger? Do you war with tit for tat? Do you bite back? The way you war, do you grumble about it, complain about it? How do you war? How do you try to win your war and your battles? Is it a self-directed way or is it a God way? Is it your way or God's way? And David is saying, I'm going to do it God's way. Now, I want you to keep your place right here in 1 Samuel. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. And I'm just going to tell you this. There's no way that you can receive what Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture unless you're God-directed, okay? It's the only way. What you're going to see, how God says how you're to live and how you're to act and how you're to walk, it can only be through God's ways, okay? I mean, when you see this, you're going to think, oh, my word, how in the world, what is Jesus saying? Certainly, man, I'm going to live under Paul. I'm not going to live under Jesus. I'm going to live under Paul. You got people who say that kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The Bible says that what you believe about Scripture has to conform, it has to agree with the sound words of Jesus. And when you see it put to practice, it'll conform you to godliness. That's what your doctrine, that's what you believe, that's what your interpretation. If your interpretation does not agree with the sound words of Jesus and a doctrine conforming to godliness, you got a doctrine of demons. It's really important. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of doctrine out there that God wants to give you, and this is kind of one of them. You know, let me tell you Saul's doctrine. You can't do that. You're too young. You're too inexperienced. You're too this, and you're too that. That's a false doctrine. This guy's been a warrior since his youth. You're just a youth. You're inexperienced. He's experienced. You're unskillful. He's skillful. Oh, well, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I saw God do it. I'm in awe of this great God. This great God is doing this thing in my life. And I'm going to do what God says to do. And so when you come to the Beatitudes or to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has a few things on how you are to respond to people as believers. And this, I want to just suggest to you, this is how we war. We war the way Jesus would war. Look at verse 38. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make sense unless you're God-directed. If you're self-directed, this won't make sense. And you'll try to figure a way how to get away from this, okay? Watch this, verse 38. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Ooh. That's how the world wars. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. You pluck my eye out, I'll pluck yours out. You knock a tooth out, we'll make sure we'll knock your tooth out. Tit for tat. How are you warring? You warring like that? I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Do you see what I mean? Do you think I like that? Do you think I like reading that? Do you think my flesh likes that? Listen, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm just reading you the way we war. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. What? What? How are you warring? God's way? Man's way? How many of you have a red letter Bible? Here and at home or at home. Red letter. This is red letters. This is red letters. You know, we like to sing about the red letters until we get to these red letters. Isn't that right? Just be honest with me. Just be honest with me. I'm honest with you. I'm telling you, I don't like this. I don't like preaching this. I don't like the idea of thinking about these kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you, this is what God directed people do. Why? Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're filled with the Spirit of Jesus. And this is not one passage that you cut and paste for something else. We can just take the scissors today and you can bring in your Bible and we'll just cut this out. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I'm saying you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you. Why? Watch this. Verse 45. So that you may become or may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, because he's causing his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, complete, as your heavenly Father is complete. How are you warring? How are you warring today? God's way? Man's way? I don't know about you, but I want to guard my heart so that the way I'm warring is not building my Goliath up. It's not building my attitude up. It's not building my kingdom up. I want Goliath dead. And you know, when David says this, listen, I'm going to do this God's way. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean to come in the name of the Lord? There's a couple of things. Number one, it means you're representing him in every single way. When you say you come in the name of the Lord, you are representing Jesus. Paul talks about being an ambassador for Christ. You represent him in his kingdom. And there's another thought here is not only that, but you are sent and commissioned and tasked by Christ. When you come in the name of the Lord, when you come in his name, you are coming as a sent person, commissioned and tasked by Christ. When you approach your Goliath, when you approach that sin, that attitude, you're coming sent by him to take care of this in your life. And I want to know, church, are you taking care of it? Are you taking care of your Goliath? Because, you know, he wants to do that for you. He wants to take that. He wants to take those things away so that he might mature you, so that he might send you and commission you on a different task. A missional task. A witness. You know, when the Bible says that the Spirit of God will come upon you, you should be my witnesses. You'll give witness, Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to all the parts of the world. When we go to China, when we set you apart, when we have set you apart to go to the Hani, we're sending you. You're going in the name of Jesus, sent, commissioned, tasked by Christ. And you know, I want to put something in your mind today, in your heart. Do that about your Goliaths. that I'm commissioned by God in the strength of the Lord to kill the Goliaths of my life. That God has sent me. There's a third thing. You're endowed with confidence in him. Isn't David confident? David's confident. Here's the thought. The thought is you know, God has equipped him. God has endowed him and has empowered him to take care of this 9-foot-9-inch problem. And to resurrect Israel from their fear to confidence in him. And God, if you're sent by him, if you are commissioned by him, if you're going in the name of the Lord, you have everything you need to live this godly life. And to give witness. Because that's what the Spirit of God comes into your life to do, to give witness of this great God. Spirit of God will come upon you and you shall be my witnesses, my martyrs, my those that lay down their life and give witness to this great God. Because we are in awe of this great God. And then fourth, just kind of mentioned it, you are assured of the power of God to accomplish the task. That's what this means to come in the name of the Lord. Commissioned by Christ, empowered by Christ, endowed by Christ with certain power to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And you know, I think this is so interesting because this is what David knew. He knew the name of the Lord, and Goliath didn't. He knew God's power. He knew God's intentions because he knew his name. He knows what God intends to do. Now, what I want to do in the next last 5 minutes, 10 minutes of this time together is that I want us to look at the name of God. When he said, I come in the name of the Lord, he said, I come in the name of Yahweh. Now Yahweh is a Hebrew word for I am. It's the one name in Hebrew culture that's very, very important. And there's a ton of names. But this is what God calls himself. You might have heard it as Jehovah or Yahweh. And you know, a name in Hebrew culture is really, really important. You know, they would name their child a lot of times after what they already see happening. You remember when Isaac names Jacob and Esau? Do you remember that? You know, Jacob comes out holding the heel, the brother, and they say, "Oh, he's a supplanter. We'll call him Jacob." Esau means red. Oh, he's red. We'll call him Red. Edom, Red. Okay. And a lot of times, hey, do this. Go look up your kid's name, and then see how they act. There's some principle here. Seen it over and over and over and over. Yeah, do you remember that family? Yeah. They had a little girl named Dancy, and she loved to dance. They had a little boy named Duel, and he loved to fight. And who's the other one?
Rowdy.
And Rowdy was Rowdy. Sweet kids. Believe me, sweet kids. Hebrew names are very important. And when God said, when Moses says to God at the burning bush, who do you want me to say has sent me? When they ask me who's his name, you say, I am sent you, Yahweh. I am the self-existing one. I am sends you. And so when he says, I come in the name of Yahweh, I come in the name of I am. Self-existing one. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. I come in his name. You come in the name of Dagon, some fish man god. I come in the name of Yahweh, the great I am, the great self-existing one. And you know, I think it's just so appropriate this morning that when I think about how awesome God is, and that's so awesome that I'm appalled by sin. And it's because I know this great God named Yahweh. And Yahweh, God, is the expression of his character, that he's infinite, that he's personal. I mean, what God says, hey, this is my name, and I want to know you, and I want to do these things for you and in you and through you. I come to you in the name of Yahweh. And I think about this Goliath, and I think about some compound names of in Hebrew that we've studied here before. I mean, there's some great names of God. One of them is Yahweh Jireh. It's in your notes. It means, I am your provider, or the Lord will provide. And it commemorates the provision of the ram in the place of Isaac for Abraham's sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Jehovah Jireh. You know, in our beginning of our message, we began to look at what some of these, we didn't begin, but we continue to look at some of these Goliaths. Listen, if Goliath is your lack, your debt, your loss of job, come to your Goliath in the name of Yahweh Jireh, the God who will always provide for you. By the way, the Lord will provide is really a type and shadow of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died in your place. And it points to this great I am Jesus. And I said it 3 weeks ago, if God gave you the best, he'll give you the rest. I've got lack, maybe. There's some a season in my life. I've lost the job. I've got uncertainty. The bank account is just kind of really suffering. How many bank accounts? No, you don't need to say that. Okay. But they're suffering. And it consumes us. But did you not resonate with the song that he's never failed me and that he's always provided and he'll do it again? Why? Because we come in the name of Yahweh Jireh. We come in the name of Christ, the great I am. And I can depend on that because that's what he says he'll do. And I can approach this Goliath with no more fear, no more worry, and no more sleepless nights over finances. Because we have Jehovah Jireh, we have Yahweh Jireh, I am. For the Goliath of worry, fear, and anxiety, you have Yahweh Shalom. It means the Lord is peace. I am your peace. And it's the name Gideon gave the altar, the name God Gideon gave the altar which he built in Ophrah. Ophrah in Judges 6:24. You worry, you fear, you have anxiety. Listen, the great I am, Shalom, is who I come to in the name, when I come in the name of the Lord. For the Goliath of depression and loneliness, there's Yahweh Shammah. And this expression just expresses the truth that God is there. He is present. He is here. At the funeral of Curtis, Hannah, pastor said something really interesting. I always think of three words. And I'm Johnny and I were talking about this the other day, and three words. And you know, I just kind of, these are my three words. I am here. It just seems like when God speaks to me in those times that are hard and difficult, I hear Yahweh Shammah, but I hear in a different way. I am here. Those are the three words. Those are the three words that God gives. I am here. I'm in the midst. I am present. I am present in your life. And if I am present, you have everything you need. Because he's present. So when I'm lonely or when I'm struggling or when I've got these things happening in my life, I have this great name to approach Goliath. And that is, I come to you in the name of Yahweh. I come to you in the name of Yahweh Shammah, the God who is present. You know, for the sinful problem, you know, for the things that are just really, really, I don't know, just they're hard and they're difficult. And the sin problem we talked about earlier, it's Yahweh Sigdenu. I know that's a really difficult word, but I'm just going to tell you, it just means I am your righteousness. And do you know how you get righteous? Not by performing, but by believing. Believing what God says. Another story from Abraham. When did God reckon Abraham as righteous? 30 years after God started dealing with him, when he said, okay, I believe that I'm going to be a great nation. And God says, then it reckoned to him as righteousness. When I'm dealing with the sin problem, I need to get my eyes off the sin problem and get it on Yahweh Sigdenu. He's the God of righteousness. He's also this great God called Makadesh, and he's the one who sanctifies us. And it's all over Scripture about this whole thought of how God sanctifies us, how he makes us holy, how we become like Christ. Is your Goliath a sin problem? Let me tell you, we got a name that's awesome in God. That name, thank you. And that name is what we come in the name of. And then there's, how many of you, don't raise your hands here, how many of you have hurts from when you were 10, 11, and 12 years old? Can I say something? A bunch of us do. And it can become a Goliath in your life. You might have a really hard, right now, a really difficult, diagnosis. The Bible says that he is Yahweh Rapha, our healer. There's some of you here today, most of you in here are not dealing with a bad diagnosis. But you might have a hurt and a pain in your heart that goes way, way back. And we have a God who heals. He's the Lord who heals. I am. I come to you in the name of I am. You know, I want to just close with this right now because I think it's just really important. When the Pharisees were really getting on Jesus' case, they really got on his case when he was talking about Abraham. And this is what he said. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said it in a past tense. And they said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say that? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So if we're talking about the name of the Lord and coming in the name of the Lord to win victory over our Goliaths, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, the great I am. Matter of fact, when he said that, they picked up stones to hurl at him because he was making himself to be like I am, the sacred name of God. No way. But yes, way. More than way. We kill our Goliaths in the name of the Lord. The great I am. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Would you do that? I want to ask the question, what is your Goliath? We don't come with swords and spears and javelins. We come in the name of the Lord. We come representing him in every way. We come sent, commissioned, tasked by God, endowed with confidence in him and assured of the power of God to accomplish the task. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, a powerful passage of scripture when the 70 were sent out and they came back and they said, oh God, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I just saw that and I had this great, great joy. And as a matter of fact, he said, I'm giving you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name's recorded in heaven. And then the Bible says he greatly rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And he praised God because we get to see these things. Blessed are your eyes who see these things. And I want to ask you, church, are you seeing these things? Are you seeing the Goliath of worry, fear, anxiety, depression, loneliness, shame, and guilt, immorality, pride, and addictions? Are you seeing the Goliath of sickness and hurts and hang-ups being victorious? Are you seeing the Goliath of loss and uncertainty? I mean, just demolished by the name of the Lord Jesus. I come to you in the name of Jesus, sent by him, endowed and assured of the power of God to accomplish this task. If you've identified your Goliath and you're appalled by him because you're in such awe of God, will you know your rightful place in the kingdom of God under the name of our great God? Not the name of a church, not the name of a body, not the name of a man, but the name of great I am, Yahweh God, who came in the flesh And we know him as Jesus, our deliverer. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, Savior, I am with you to deliver you. The great I am. Oh, Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh upon us. Take these words, Lord, form them in our hearts, speak our language with it, and that, God, we move from this place with the decision to no longer let a Goliath rule in our lives. But in the name of Jesus, take the sling, put the rock in it, throw it at his head, kill it, cut off its head so it never appears again. Oh, God, could you do this? Gosh, with man, it's impossible. With all things, God, it's possible. And I'm going to tell you this, what he said to Mary on that day, he didn't say all things are possible. He said, no word will be impossible with God. No rhema will be impossible with God. And whatever God says, I'm telling you, it is possible. And it, if you're in Christ, it's a certainty. And it may be slow for some of us, but I'm telling you, it's a certainty. Church, in the name of Jesus, kill your Goliath. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray these things in your name for your glory and your honor. Amen and amen. 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 Hey, let's stand together, okay? Will we do that? Hey, there are going to be some guys at the back of your back with an offering plate again this week to help the Parks who are with us. From Port Aransas. Shelby's here today. We're gonna come alongside you in the next couple of weeks, and we're gonna have an offering for them at the Lord's Supper in a couple of weeks. And I'm just really excited how God might lead us to be a part of the things that are happening down in South Texas. Okay, all right. Raise a hand, maybe two. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace. This peace, this shalom of God that we talked about, that'll give you peace in every area. May this peace of God rest upon you. And may he guard you with this peace. You're going in and you're going out. And may the God of peace, this God of peace, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So your heart and your mind don't go places they need to go. Amen? Amen. Amen. Receive it. God bless you. God bless you.